Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
I want to welcome everyone to this very special moment that we're going to have together. This is going to be a little bit an unusual sermon. It's going to be interview, but it's going to be packed with the miraculous and also with some great word that all of us need. We've been in the most bizarre, unusual season. I know that we say that all the time through this COVID pandemic, but you know what's happened is that for those of us who have stayed close to God and one another, we're coming out on top, wouldn't you say? And yes. So for everyone out there, I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. It's a very special day. Don't we love our moms? They got us here, right? We wouldn't be here without them. I know, right? That's still basic science, I hope. Yes, that's how we get here. And then also, not only that, but the scripture tells us that we should honor our mothers. And this is such a special day for us because of the story that we're about to hear. Lynette is going to help me sort of co-host this moment. And we have some very special friends with us who have weathered the storm together through a Connect group setting, and that's our friends Michael and Alyssa Schaefer.
We are so happy to be with the Schaefers today, and we're going to start sharing with them in just a moment. But one of the, it is Mother's Day, and so the story is very relevant to Mother's Day. But another key part of this story is really the power of doing life in community. We've just got through the season that you were saying where we've felt many times isolated, but yet when we're in the kingdom of God, we realize that there is so much power in community. I've been thinking lately too about how really since I was about 8 years old, I've been in some sort of connect group, which is kind of a crazy thought. I've loved the Lord most of my life, all my life that I can remember. But really by the time I was eight, I was in a small girls little group. And then through high school, I remember so clearly just always doing life in community. And through all my years as a single person, it made even more of a difference. The funny thing, however, though, and maybe you relate to this, is there are just times when we don't really feel like doing life in community. We feel like hunkering down, maybe especially when we're going through times of suffering. We just wish we could let the storm pass. Don't want to talk about it. Sick of my own prayer requests. Don't want to bother anybody. Right. I just don't always feel like it. So today's story is not only in honor of Mother's Day, and you'll see why, but it's really also about doing life in community. We're such strong believers in that. And it's why our church is really all about getting in community, life groups, and connect groups and doing life together.
We just cannot underscore that enough because we know the value that it's added to us personally, but also in our connect group here in New York City. You know, it's just been an unusual blessing to have several key people who are in our lives and in our hearts we care for and they care for us. And we have just been doing life together. But one of the most important things about doing life together is bearing one another's burdens.
Yes.
And that's what Paul spoke of in Galatians 6 when he told the saints there that you're not just isolated living alone for yourself. There are others. And to bear one's burdens just means to, it'd be like someone's moving some furniture into a truck or out of their home or something like that. And someone says, let me get the other end of that couch. I think this works better when we bear one another's weight or burden. And that's what it's been like for us. But we go way back with the Schaefers, and they're the only ones from our Connect group in this particular setting today. But there are others who are involved, and we'll share one additional story today. But, you know, I remember Mike and Alyssa back when they were just in their early 20s or mid 20s. Alyssa and her twin sister, Rachel, were probably at one of the very first services at the Lamb's Theater back then.
The third service.
I want to tell you something, girl. Wow. You look pretty much the same. She does not age, which is amazing. Her husband, Michael, he was a young medical student at the time, and he was trailing her around. And they eventually, you know, they went beyond just being friends into committing towards marriage and dating towards marriage. And then they got married and they started a life. And Mike's a cardiologist. Alyssa's in the corporate world. They've lived very constructive and busy and wonderful lives in the world. And they've been wonderful Christian people as well. But you know what? To be a Christian doesn't mean it always goes your way.
That's right. So as Pastor Ron said, Michael and I were met when we were very young. I was 20 years old. I think Michael was 21. We were in college. We started dating. I moved to New York. Michael, a few years later, after he finished medical school, came here. And then we got married 3 years after Michael moved here. I always remind him of that. But we got married, and we were just really happy and, you know, just looking forward to everything that, you know, you think of when you think of a young married couple. We were living on the Upper East Side, and we both had good jobs, and we were just happy. And I remember, you know, hearing just stories in people at church of struggling and sort of, you know, faith being weak. And I remember thinking, wow, well, thank God that's not me. I'm doing great, you know? And, you know, thank God, you know, and everything was great. And about 3 years into our marriage, we started to try to have children. And I don't even have time in this whole entire day to tell you what that was like, but I'll tell you, it was very, very difficult for us. We tried everything under the sun, many, many different doctors and treatments and everything. And we just had failure after failure. We had a couple of very painful losses. Took us just a long time to, well, it took me, actually, Michael was open to it before, a long time to open up to the idea even of adoption, because I thought that was absolutely not for me, not going to happen. God had not planned it out for us that way. So we continued to just work through and see doctors. And in the meantime, we served this church, and the church served us, and we were involved in a small group. And like Lynette said in the beginning, there were many times where I didn't feel like going to small group or people coming to my house, because there was just a pain there. And as the years went on and on and on, the Connect group seemed to get bigger because everybody else was having children, but not us. And so it was painful. It was very, very painful. And there were some really great miraculous stories also in that Connect group about the Lord just really blessing people with children, but again, not us. And it was, all in all, our journey has been a decade, literally a decade, most of our marriage, and the vast majority of our marriage. And it really affected a lot of relationships. It affected just a lot of course, a lot of emotions. And we began to serve in other ways, which we'll talk a little bit about, but I guess I'll let Michael kind of tell his side of the story.
Yeah, that was a beautiful way to sum up a long 10 years. I think we started off having a Connect group in our place with our friends in New Jersey, and that was wonderful. And still, we loved those people, and we had great relationships. But during that time, there was just something that was hard for us, because it's something we were missing in not having children. So we just kept trying and trying and trying. And we know as Christians, that's one of the ways we identify with being blessed so much is having children. So it was always big on our hearts. And it felt like just such failure when we just couldn't have children, despite trying everything we possibly could. So it was a tough time. But one thing I'm definitely thankful for during that is it definitely allowed our marriage to thrive. There are ways that we connected through that we probably never would have. Ways we grew together. You know, on paper before that, our lives were kind of perfect. And then when this came along, you know, it was kind of like our trial. The things we were going through were very tough, became very real. And I think having walked through that, there was definite purpose. And it just definitely made us connect in ways that we probably could have missed if we had children very early on. So like everything God does for us, he always has the right plan. Like, we think we know our steps, but then God has the right path for us. So there were definitely some silver linings during those tough moments, but it's been a tough but wonderful 10-year journey throughout that time.
I remember, Alyssa, you and I share, well, we share your story in years of trying to have our own children, even though we have four wonderful sons that were part of our story when Ron and I first got married. They're adults now. But Alyssa, you know, you and I have been friends, dear friends, for so many years on many levels. And how many lunches we would go to together when we were both just waiting, just wondering, just thinking, how will this ever change? And it's so easy to get to that point. I mean, a number of people watching today, your journey may not have anything to do with having children. Right. There's so many varieties of sufferings that we all face.
True.
And yet, we would just encourage each other we would talk about how we're going to trust God no matter what, even when we wondered, how could we possibly keep trusting? Isn't that such a dynamic? You just, you're committed to it intellectually, but you don't always have the strength. And one of the joys I think we found in being in our Connect group together, there were quite a few of us, but three couples in particular who had that in common, us, and of course we got through our years of that first, but all of us sharing that particular dynamic. And there's something about, as you were saying, hon, about bearing each other other's burdens. I remember, I guess it was last January, when we just happened to be just the six of us that were familiar with that part of our journey.
We actually thought, and see, this is, I think this is important, that whenever you're suffering, suffering doesn't have to be a cul-de-sac. It's actually a means to something greater. And it's almost impossible sometimes when we're in pain to think that God has something beyond this, because with you guys, it just was over and over, the grief, the sense of failure, the sense of like lamenting over and over and over again. And then I think it's appropriate probably to mention what happened when you guys, it was all, your adoption was right there. You were able to adopt someone, you flew to another state, and it was happening.
Yeah, so that was about a year and a half ago, and it was just a kind of typical story. First of all, it took me about 2 years of praying, of therapy, of counseling. It really took me about 2 years before I became open to the idea of adoption. I was not open. I just did not think that's what God had for us. I felt like everything that we were trying with the doctors and the treatments, everything, that was the way that it was going to go, and that was going to be our miracle story. And it was really heart-wrenching for me to even become open to that idea. And of course, people would ask me, well, have you thought about this? And that was a painful question, because I just wasn't ready to be open to it. And I remember having lunch with Lynette, and she said, you know, just pray and say, if you can, Alyssa, I'm open. Not to adoption. She was very deliberate in saying, you know, you don't have to be open to this thing that people are maybe even forcing you to be open to, because it's been so many years of you trying to do it, you know, yourselves and having your own biological children. And she said, just say, I'm open, Lord. Mm-hmm. And I started to say, I'm open. And through, after 2 years of saying I'm open, I finally became open. And Michael was right there with me. He was actually open to it before I was. And we got connected with a birth mom through private adoption. It seemed like that was what was meant to be. We were prayed over. Everything seemed to be, you know, what we thought was the Lord's plan. And the baby was born. We flew to the state of Louisiana where she was born. And we were her parents for a week. And she was a beautiful baby girl. And we felt like she was promised to us. And it was beautiful, but it wasn't final by any means. And usually this doesn't happen where you do have a baby for several days and then, you know, and then you don't. But that's what happened to us. It was a failed adoption situation. I think, you know, looking back, it was a consequence of others' sin that was the result of what happened. We certainly didn't will that. We prayed with Ron and Lynette through that process against the birth mom changing her mind. She was in a pretty terrible situation herself, which is why she was making the choice to place the baby that she was. And at the 11th hour, she changed her mind, and that was fully within her right to do so. There was nothing we could do. So after days of prayer and interceding, trying to see if she was going to change her mind again, we flew home without the baby. And it was complete devastation for us. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of people today that maybe you're struggling because maybe you don't have the best relationship with your mom, or maybe you want to be a mom and you're not yet, or there could be a lot of reasons. Maybe it has nothing to do with Mother's Day. And I remember this day being so painful. Just last Mother's Day was one of the most painful Mother's Days for me. because we had just went through that experience. And Michael did everything he could to make that day special for me. He made me this beautiful breakfast. He bought me my SoulCycle bike, which I was so excited about. And those are the kinds of things he did over and over for me to just show his love and to show me that I wasn't forgotten. But that was a very difficult day. That was a year ago now. And so, you know, Ron and Lynette were right there with us and other members of our small group. But that was just a year ago, and the pain is still fresh because I will always pray for that baby. We named her a name that means God is gracious, and that will always be our name for her. We will always pray for her, and I believe that her life somehow, I might not know how, but her life will be better because we will continue to pray for her. Mm. But that was our kind of not final, but that was our last experience with just really having a lot of failure when it came to trying to become parents.
We know that many of you are watching can relate, whether it's that or maybe you're a guy out there and your girlfriend just disappeared or whatever. We all go through this, but you know what? The final chapter is yet to come and God's still moving. And it was at that moment that we moved from bearing burdens into intercessory prayer. And that's what Jesus said, whatever two agree is touching anything, it'll be given to them. And we thought that was it for you guys, but you know what? God had a bigger plan. You know, what is a plan B to us? Actually, years down the road, we look at it and say, well, that was the plan A after all. Mm. If you'll just hang in there, watch what God will do. So I want Lynette to share now how she was processing this, because she really got ticked off. And that's the thing, is that we suffer together, but we fight together. We pray together. We kneel together. We encourage one another. We don't give up. There are 31 another's in Scripture.
Wow.
And that's what we did. We prayed for one another, and she went at it. She went hard after it. And I want you to know that God answers our prayers, but you know what? Sometimes you have to let it be birthed out of you.
Yes.
And sometimes that birthing process brings us to the reality and the fulfillment of a promise.
That had been my experience when we were going through our years of suffering and believing. There was a group of in a Connect group setting of women in my life who just were relentless. I know one of them, our dear Marge, who's in the church, she was relentless for you guys. She was relentless.
She still is.
Yes.
She's amazing. And she would leave me voicemails, and I would let it go to voicemail because I knew I would need to listen to it over and over and over again. And she would tell me, your babies are coming. I hear them laughing. I know they're coming. And I even had moved on. Mm. But my friends did not. And see, that's what we do tenaciously, is we say, no, I'm going to grab hold of what I know is in your heart, and I'm going to believe. And so it was a year ago, January, we were meeting together. It was before COVID started. We were meeting together at our home. It was just the six of us that night, and we had had dinner together like we do at our Connect group. We went to prayer. We were praying our hearts out. We were crying out. There were tears. Mm. It was one of those intercession moments where nobody was holding it back. And by midnight, we all kind of got up from the prayer time, and we were spent, but I just got this quickening in my heart. If you know our story, you know that God ended up giving us twins through adoption, and I looked at both of the couples, and I said, God is going to give you twins. I believe it. I'm not just praying for a miracle. God is going to give you twins. See, when you go through a miracle after years of suffering, you are able to stand in the gap in a more authoritative way than ever before. That's why I love that verse that says, we're refreshed in our suffering, I'm paraphrasing, so that we know how to refresh others.
Yes.
It's why we gotta do life together. And so, quite honestly, after I said that to you guys, you're gonna have twins, and they left, and Ron was kind of looking at me, and I'm like, oh dear, I have the gift of encouragement. Maybe I was just going too far. I'm so sad for my friends. But I just had the sense that we were gonna command it. The Lord says, if two of you agree together as touching anything, it will be done for you by my Father. He also says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed,
come
and cast into the sea.
Love it.
And don't doubt in your heart, your Father will do it for you. Mm-hmm. And so I almost believed that we had moved from just, please, Lord, can we, to we're going to command in the name of Jesus with the authority. And
then
we're going to trust God.
Right.
We're going to trust God. And you can pick it up from here.
And that's really what we needed at the time. We had prayed for so long, and others had prayed for us for so long. And it was just that commanding spirit. And even when Lynette said, you're going to have twins, I thought, well, I am a twin, Lynette. Did you get that confused? You have twins.
Yes, she's a twin.
And I just, but the Lord says, all it takes is the faith of a mustard seed. And I will tell you, at that moment, when she said that, I had a tiny speck of faith about that one thing. I had a tiny speck of faith. Mm. I thought, okay, Lord, I know you can do anything. I can trust you. I think that's really far-fetched, but I can have faith of a mustard seed. And even through the years of suffering, sometimes my faith was just so weak. And sometimes, you know, that happens. And we pray for it that's not right. to happen. And we prepare ourselves for it not to happen. But sometimes it does. And my faith sometimes, at times, was just a faith of a mustard seed, you know, that anything was going to work out. But when Lynette said that to us, I knew something was going to work out. I didn't know what. But, you know, I had that faith, even of a mustard seed, that it could be twins. And I remember when we came back from Louisiana and that whole just nightmare for us. And we hired a lawyer here in New York, one of the best, you know, adoption lawyers in New York. We thought, all right, we've got to hire the best. And she, you know, was checking off her list and she said, are you open to multiples? And we said, yes. And I said, well, I'm a twin, you know, and this was before Lynette had prayed for us. And she said, well, okay. You know, she lowered her glasses. She's like, you know, it's like really rare to adopt twins, right? I'm just asking you because it's on the paper, but you know, you're not gonna have twins. When we said, well, I said, okay, you know, so our expectations were set by the world, but God's expectations are not of this world. Mm-hmm. And so we actually had got matched. So that happened in January. I was hitting the pavement, calling all these agencies, trying to just understand where this baby, wasn't really even thinking about the twin thing, but where this baby was going to come from. The Lewises had connected us with some people that were involved with some different organizations, wonderful organizations, and I'd get on the phone, and it took a while to get information from people, but I would ask, how many adoptions do you do? How long do you have, are the families waiting, and how many families are waiting? That's what I wanted to know. Mm. And I was just trying to do everything I could, you know, just that type A personality, just like during all the years of treatments. But out of nowhere, we got a call from an agency that we had been connected with all along, actually, because they're the agency that an agency has to approve you in the state of New Jersey where we live. And so they had approved us a couple years ago. And they said, we have this mom, she lives in California. And, you know, she wants one thing for her children besides obviously, a good life. She wants one of the parents to have a Hispanic background, a Latino background. And we know, Alyssa, that you do. And you had checked off that, you know, you would, you're open to that race, that heritage. We have dozens of families waiting for adoptive parents and to be matched with a birth mom. We have dozens, but none of them have anything like that in their heritage. So would you be open talking to this mom? And I said, well, of course, you know, mom's pregnant with twins. And we still didn't know if it was all going to work out. I mean, we just still had a lot of stuff that we were dealing with from the last situation.
Sure.
Maybe you want to talk about meeting Lillian.
Yeah, that was just such a blessing. I mean, we could not have asked for a better blessing with a birth mother. She's just a wonderful person, very genuine. We wanted to meet her. She wanted to meet us. So we flew out to LA shortly after, we had been matched through the agency. And she just came to us with open arms, was just, you know, throwing thanks at us. And we were like, no, thank you. I mean, this is the most wonderful gift we could ever imagine. So we just got to know her. We spent a couple of days with her, had meals with her, and just a wonderful, humble person that wanted nothing but, you know, the best for these twins. And we were just more than happy to be in this situation. And she actually even gave us the first baby gift. She said, I want to give you guys something, and presented
That's
us with
amazing.
A wonderful present. And yeah, we just broke down and cried together. It was a great, joyous moment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's a wonderful person. We could not have asked for better.
The other thing that she did, it was her idea to go to a kind of a separate office where they do 3D ultrasounds. And so we saw the babies 3D, and it was confirmed. It was two girls. And I kind of thought it was going to be a boy and a girl. Some people praying for us thought it was going to be a boy and a girl, but it was confirmed it was two girls. So we were happy about that. I have a twin sister. So we were getting excited. We bought all the girl stuff, painted the room. Actually, the room was done from the last situation, but kept it all girly because that's what, you know, it was before. And, you know, it just the Lord showed me step by step just the power of believing together, praying together, but just having the faith of a mustard seed. I mean, everything about this story surpassed our expectations. As you probably know by now, everything worked out and we're parents now. But there's so many details that I don't have time to talk about that only God can orchestrate this story. These babies were born in Los Angeles where we had family. We were able to stay with very close family for the first month of the twins' lives. And we had to be in California for a month. Otherwise, we would be in some hotel, you know, and that was a beautiful time. The heritage thing, having a Mexican-American heritage like I do, these babies. And then the ultimate surprise was really being able to be at the hospital from the moment these twins were born and taking care of them by myself. Unfortunately, Michael couldn't be there because of COVID, but it was just an honor to be able to be there right when they were born. And when they were born, we got the biggest surprise, an even bigger surprise, that actually we have a son and a daughter now. And for some reason, twice over, it was missed. We have one girl and one boy, and that's Lucas and Serene.
Surprise.
That you might see them get dedicated today. But yeah, it was a surprise and a miracle, and just all these details surrounding this situation, it only could be done by God. It was painful because we decided to just kind of step out and start doing some things that we thought could be helpful to other people. And that was very healing, even though sometimes we didn't feel like it. And one of the things that we did was we started teaching the pre-marriage classes, and we love that. And one of the classes was about God's purpose for marriage. And of course, what the Bible says is God's purpose for marriage is to multiply so that his word can be passed down to the generations.
Yes.
And we just felt like we couldn't do that at the time, but we were carrying his word through with these young couples. And so even if, you know, his word says something and you don't exactly know how it applies to your life, he will help you find a way to apply it, even if ultimately there's that other piece to go along with it later as well. So we were talking to these young couples for years about what God's purpose for marriage and communication and all these things, and couldn't really experience that for ourselves until now in terms of passing on, the Lord's teaching to the generations.
Well done,
you know,
guys.
You and I had that in common. In fact, one of the reasons I prayed boldly and believed that you were going to have twins is that during my own journey of really believing for pregnancy, God put in my heart that I was going to have twins, twin girls in particular. But before that ever manifested, I felt the Lord. Mother's Day, because I'm the pastor's wife, would be a day where we would do baby dedications. And many, many years, it was very painful for me because I was not getting what I was blessing on everyone else. And I felt the Lord take me a step further at one point. And I felt like he said, I want you not only to bless during baby dedication, but anybody who's believing for pregnancy, I want you to pray for them. So I just started doing it. I felt like, you know, I'm calling forth the, you know, pray for others what you want God to do for yourself. And the funny thing started happening is people started getting pregnant with twins that I was praying for. And I thought,
Now I'm an eyewitness to this. She's not embellishing. She's not making it up. It's not a feel good, make believe story. I began to see this happen. And there were some where it was someone who couldn't get pregnant. She got pregnant with one child. And then there were several who got pregnant with twins, several.
And one
and
even.
One was triplets too. That's what were you going to say that?
Yes, I was going to say.
Of course, we're twins. No, we're.
One was triplets. And so, but I just found what you were saying about doing the premarital. I found that when we give out of our need, it multiplies. It's a supernatural thing. You can't make it happen. You can't form it yourself, but it happens.
It's so true. And we do this as Christians, and we're different. We don't just sit in a pity corner. Of course, we've all felt self-pity. I have many times. Feel sorry for yourself. But you know, there comes that place where you have to battle your way through. And we're going to bring the Schaefer's babies out now.
Yes, before that, I just want to, I was going through some old papers for some reason the other day. I don't even won't know why. It's because I'm working from home now and I'm locked in my bedroom for 10 hours a day, probably. But I was going through my old papers and, you know, it's funny, people just, you know, Lynette prayed for twins. And when we got our twins, which we'll bring them up in a second, but people came out of the woodwork saying and listing their prayer logs for us that they were believing and praying for twins. Michael's aunt, a very strong woman of faith. Mavette from our church, a woman who went here for many years, showed me her prayer log with a picture from 2015 or something. Schaefer's twins. So it's amazing what God will do. And you don't even know what is actually going on behind the scenes. So I was going through my old papers, though. And I found this card, and it was written in February of last year, 2020. I'll just read it real quick. It says, "Dear Alyssa, we will trust the Lord with all our hearts. We lost our promised children at the same time. We prayed together last month, and now I'm expecting. Our prayers are not complete until we pass our losses and our hurdles, and the two of you get your gifts. I just wanted to tell you that I'm with you, and I've been thinking about you all day before delivering this news to our Connect group." So this card was just, she didn't know what was gonna happen. She'd been there before, we had been there before. None of us knew all what was gonna happen, but this was just the power of believing together, praying together, and you know, celebrating really today together for the first time all together.
God is real. He sees, he cares, he's with us, and he does miracles for his people. God can do a miracle for you. God can lead you. God can guide you. But I think what I hear in this is so much faith. Faith doesn't work on feelings. They didn't feel it. We didn't feel it. Lynette didn't feel it. And the others, you could be going through anything, financial failure, relational failure. Maybe you have a threat against your life that you can't even survive. Jesus is never late. He always shows up on time. And in some situations, it was after someone died. Jesus called out Lazarus out of the grave. Wherever you are, he can find you, even if you're in one step in the grave. He can find you and he can bring you out. And we're going to introduce the children and show some pictures here, but we're going to pray for you right now. Let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you for those who are viewing. They've heard a story. Maybe they say, "I keep hearing that, but what about me?" And thank you, God, that you see everyone. You see us collectively as a body. We're part of a body of believers in this church family. And we do pray together and have faith. And faith without works is dead. And we do fight and work and believe you, God, with every step of the way. We pray for those that are feeling isolated, alone on this day. We're praying for salvation. Salvation of soul, salvation of heart, salvation of marriage, salvation of children, salvation of health, salvation of resources. Whatever it is that you're believing for, asking God to come through for you. And I just want you to pray right now, "Jesus, come and be near me." You pray that prayer. Show me how to move forward, Lord Jesus. Show me the way forward. Come into my life and redeem that which has been lost or broken in me and bring me to that path of completion and perfection and provision. And we trust you, God, to do it for everyone who's listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Here we are.
Here we are.
It just sort of happens like that. You know, we wish. It's through much, many tears, many prayers, many hurdles, but here we are. And, you know, I just want to encourage you with one last thought. And that is, at the end of all of Job's trials, it says in Job, the end of the book, that Job prayed for his friends. They weren't really good friends either. They had bad advice, horrible advice. You guys are used to hear, you heard a lot of that. But he prayed for them, and it says God gave him double for what he had been through. And it doesn't always work that way, but I've seen God do it so many times that he does give us double for our trouble. And so whatever trouble you have, you can expect something great, because God will never be left out of the equation. When the enemy strikes or something happens, he's got a greater plan. He'll never let you go. So we're gonna just, all of us on our way out on this happy Mother's Day, everyone just wave And
Happy
Mother's Day.
Beautiful picture of the Schaefer's twins there. Look at them, they're so beautiful. Lucas and Serene, look at them. Serene she is. Lucas Michael, like his dad, look at him, just chilling out right there.
God is amazing and your faith will not fail. I just was feeling as we were praying that maybe you've wondered, do I have enough faith to get through? Maybe you feel like Peter, who denied Jesus at the key moment, denied him outright three times. And Jesus had said to Peter before it happened, he said, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And that's my prayer for you today. So see what God has done here in our midst and grab it and say, what God has done for them, he can do for me. Whatever miracle you need, God is faithful. We're with you. We're here to do life together. That's one of our themes. We grow together as a church family, and we have grown together over the years.
Absolutely.
But we're here for each other. We want to wish you the happiest of Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day!
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.